Text for this morning's lesson is found in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, we want to begin our reading in just a moment at verse 18 and read through verse 19. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 18. Appreciate the presence of each one this morning. I have several visitors and it's good to have you with us to study the Word of God and worship God with us this day. In Matthew chapter 16, reading from the New King James Version, Matthew 16 and verse 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." From this passage of Scripture, we always spend most of our time when we study this in verse 18. The subject of our study this morning is in verse 19. The keys of the kingdom. It's been long recognized that the word keys has reference to power and authority. That is, keys are a symbol of power and authority. As a matter of fact, we see this expressed even back in the Old Testament. So it's an Old Testament symbol brought over into the New Testament. For example, in Isaiah 22 and in verse 20, but before we read that, I'll give you the background of that text. The text we're going to read is from the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He had a steward over his house, that is, over the house of David, Sheba, who was deposed from that position because of his ungodliness, and another was put in his place, Eliakim. You'll remember this text, having studied in the book of Revelation with us not long ago, but the point of reading this is to show you the symbolic idea involved in the word keys. Isaiah 22 and in verse 22, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah." So Eliakim, instead of Sheba, is going to become the steward over the house of David. You might say over the house of God. We read on in verse 22, "The key of the house of David will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open." See the power and authority involved in this? Back in verse 21, "I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand." That is, his power and his authority into his hand. Thus he says, "The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open." Keys are a symbol of power and authority. As a steward was given power and authority to rule and regulate the things going on in a house. You're given keys today, perhaps, maybe, as someone who would watch over someone's house when they're out of town. By you being given the keys, you're simply given power and authority to enter that building. By being given a power and authority to enter that building, you can open the door and go into it. But by being given the keys, you're also given the responsibility of locking and closing that door behind you when you leave. You have authority and power over the house, so to speak. You've been given that by simply the symbolic inference of the keys being given to you. Now we find these keys mentioned, and it's not important that the word is in the plural. Sometimes we find the word in the singular in the New Testament, but it's only used six times and never used in a literal sense. It's always used in the New Testament in a symbolic or metaphorical sense, in reference to power or authority. So in reference to what was said in regard to Eliakim here, becoming the steward over the house of David, over the house of God, we come to the book of Revelation, Revelation 3 and verse 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, the one under consideration is Jesus Christ, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens." So that which was said to Eliakim as being the steward over the house of David, over the house of God, has reference to Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1 and verse 18, "And I am he who lives," as Jesus is speaking to John, "and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death. I have power over the Hadean realm. I have power and authority over death itself." Revelation 9 and in verse 1, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit." He was given a key to the bottomless pit. The star, of course, we learn to be an angel later on, we'll note in the next passage. But he was given a key. He was given power and authority over the bottomless pit. Revelation 20 and verse 1. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven," earlier, the star, "having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand." So he's given power and authority over the bottomless pit. So we see the symbolism in the key as being recognized as that which is powerful and that which has authority behind it. Then the only other place it's used in the New Testament, outside of Matthew 16 and verse 19, is in Luke verse 52 of chapter 11. "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourself, and those who were entering in you hindered." You've taken away the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge under consideration is the key that leads to knowledge. It's the authority and the power that leads to knowledge. What is that? Well, it was the Word under the Old Testament. It was the Word which the lawyers under consideration, scribes, doctors, and teachers of the law were to be teaching during that particular period of time. It would bring about the knowledge of Christ. It would bring them into the kingdom of God. But these scribes, these doctors of the law, they'd taken away the key of knowledge. They'd taken away the power of the knowledge of the Old Testament Word, the Word of God. They'd taken it away. "You did not enter in yourself, and those who were entering in you hindered." Note that, entering in. You got to have a key to get in. They had taken away the key of knowledge. How had they taken away a key of knowledge? To the law of God, they had added a lot of their traditions, doctrines and teachings of men. They were apostate in the eyes of God. They weren't God's true people, nor were they teaching His law correctly. And so they had taken away the means of entering into the kingdom. I know the kingdom is under consideration because of what it says later in Matthew 23 and verse 13. "Woe to you scribes," there's the lawyers, "and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." They shut up the kingdom of heaven. How do they shut up the kingdom of heaven? They've taken away the key of knowledge. The Word of God, which they had, could have brought them to the knowledge of Christ and into the kingdom of God. They had closed up the kingdom of God for themselves and for others as well. With the key, with the power and authority that they had. Let's study this morning about the keys of the kingdom, because to Peter it was said, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So keys are promised here. Keys are promised. We see them promised to Peter on this occasion, "And I will give you." Peter is under consideration, as is indicated in verse 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter." So the "you" in verse 19 is Peter. "I'll give you the keys. I'll give you power and authority to make access into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, into the church possible." So Peter's going to be given the keys. But when one considers the context, Peter is simply speaking on this occasion as he had declared Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was speaking as a representative for all the apostles. How do I know that? Because of the context of our reading this morning, back in verse 13 of Matthew 16. When Jesus came in the region of Caesarea Philippi, note this, he asked his disciples, he asked all of his disciples, that is, his apostles, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, So they said, that is, all the apostles said, some John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you? It's hard for us to determine in the English, but the you under consideration is plural in the Greek. He's asking this question to all the apostles. And of course we know that in the context then, Peter responds. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But Peter is simply representing all the apostles. Actually, when Jesus promises the keys here, that is power and authority to open entrance into the kingdom of heaven, into the church, he's speaking to all the apostles. He gives the keys to all the apostles. As a matter of fact, we learn in Matthew 18 and verse 18, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The you there is plural in the Greek. He is speaking to all the apostles. Note back in the context, again, verse 19, Matthew 16 and verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you, Peter, bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But that same statement is made to all the apostles. He is speaking to all the apostles. The keys were promised, and it was promised to all the apostles, not to just Peter. Well, let's identify the keys. What are the keys under consideration? Keys are symbolic of power and authority. We understand it to be symbolic of the power and authority that was given the apostles that they might open an entrance way into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the church. So let's identify the keys. Keys of the kingdom. That phrase, keys of the kingdom, is simply synonymous with other phrases, such as the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 4 and verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom was the keys of the kingdom. The gospel is the means by which entrance is made available into the kingdom of heaven. The gospel is synonymous with the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 9 and verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The gospel of the kingdom is synonymous with the keys of the kingdom. The gospel is God's power and authority to bring about the salvation of man. Romans 1 and verse 16, it is indeed God's power and authority. It is the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So the keys of the kingdom is synonymous with the gospel of the kingdom. It's also synonymous with the word of the kingdom. Matthew 13 and verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. So the word of the kingdom is synonymous with the keys of the kingdom. The word is synonymous with the gospel of the kingdom. Surely we see that. In Matthew 13 and in verse 11, it's synonymous with the mysteries of the kingdom. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The apostles had asked why he spoke in parables. Well, to the apostles were given the mysteries of the kingdom. They were given the keys of the kingdom. They were given authority and power to open an entrance way into the kingdom of God, into the church. That's what's under consideration. As a matter of fact, as Eliakim, the steward over the house of David, over the house of God in Isaiah's day, so were the apostles, so to speak, stewards over the keys of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. As a steward would be given the key over the household which he had oversight over. So the apostles were given the keys of the kingdom, synonymous with the mysteries of God. So we see that the keys are identified simply as the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes what? Everyone who believes the gospel. It's God's power and authority by which he brings about the salvation of the souls of men. So the apostles had been given this power and authority when they were given the gospel. And the binding and loosening authority behind that gospel was given to them. Matthew 16 again in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What's he talking about? Whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever they loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What he's talking about is when they preach the gospel, some people are going to believe and obey the gospel. Their sins will be remitted and forgiven. They'll be loosed from those sins. It's as if Peter and the other apostles taking the gospel unlocks the shackles of sin from them. By the preaching of the gospel, they believe it and obey it. Thus they're loosed from their sins. But some people aren't going to believe and obey the gospel. They're going to retain their sins. They're not going to be forgiven. John 20 and verse 22 and following. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, to the apostles, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Of course, man in and of himself does not have the power and authority to forgive sin or to retain another sin. But who does have that authority? Christ does. He gave that authority to the apostles when he gave them the keys of the kingdom. They have the power and authority to preach the gospel. And in preaching the gospel, men's sins can be loosed from them or be retained, depending on their belief and obedience or their unbelief and disobedience. Thus, belief and obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ brings about the forgiveness of one's sins. Those sins are loosed. Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes the gospel, because it's God's power to bring about your salvation. It's the authority that he exercises upon your heart to bring about your salvation. He who believes and is baptized, that is, obeys the gospel in baptism, will be saved. So we have the keys are promised to the apostles. The keys are then identified as the gospel, which opens the door or an entrance way into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the church. We also see the keys were given then. The keys were given. When were the keys given to the apostles? When were they given this power and authority? When were they given this gospel that they might use to open an entrance way into the kingdom of heaven? Well, in John 14, in verse 26, Jesus told the apostles, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That is, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, that is, when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would receive divine revelation. John 16 and verse 13, Jesus said to the apostles, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, note this, he will guide you into all truth, leaves out none. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the apostles are going to be given the keys of the kingdom when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. That is, the keys would be given when the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Luke 24, in verse 46, Jesus said in Luke's account of the giving of the Great Commission, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Note this, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued or endowed with power from on high. So if we can figure out when the power came, we can figure out when the apostles were given the keys. The power under consideration, of course, is the power of the Holy Spirit. in Acts 1 and in verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So when the apostles received the power of the Holy Spirit, they received the gospel, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They received the keys of the kingdom. Acts 2 and in verse 1 and following, we see that the power comes. It comes in the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned by metonymy. What were they filled with? The promise of the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and verse 8. The power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, verse 49. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. When they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's used by metonymy. It's the power of the Holy Spirit they were filled with. They were filled with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with tongues, that is, in languages which they had never learned, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They received the keys on that occasion. They received the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power and authority to open an entrance way into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God, into the church itself. So we see them then using the keys. Jesus promised that he was going to give them keys, so they're going to have to use the keys to open an entrance way into heaven. Acts 2 and in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both the Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, salvation. For the promise of salvation is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, the word of the Lord, the word of God, the keys of the kingdom, the gospel. He testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word, which was inspired of the Holy Spirit, which was the keys that he was using on this occasion, to make an entrance way into the church of the kingdom of heaven open to them. Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. They were added to the church. So we see Peter using the keys on the day of Pentecost. He opened an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. The same entrance is open to you today. It's open to all men. Because Jesus gave the keys, the power and authority to bring about man's salvation in the gospel. And every time the gospel is preached, the keys of the kingdom are being used. When you go out in the world and you teach someone the gospel, you're using the keys of the kingdom. You're opening an entrance way into the kingdom of heaven for them. Now, they can go in the entrance, or they might choose to stay outside the kingdom of heaven, the church. They go in through belief and obedience to the gospel. If they choose to stay outside, it's because of their unbelief and their disobedience. But you open the door. It's their responsibility to go in. We also see the keys used in Acts 10 and verse 34 at the household of Cornelius, where Peter opened his mouth, said, In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Know this, the word which God sent to the children of Israel. The word of God, the word of the Lord, the keys of the kingdom. Preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, apostles, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, Mark 16 and verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Use the keys I'm giving you to open the entrance way into the kingdom of heaven. And on this occasion, that's what he does for the people at the household of Cornelius. So he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the word. Note that. Phrases like this make me get sidetracked. But the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the word. They heard the word of God. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. Not the person of the Holy Spirit, but a gift of the Holy Spirit came upon them. A gift of the Holy Spirit came upon them. How do I know that? Because they expressed that gift later on in the context. Verse 45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. Know that, not the Holy Spirit, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. There's the gift. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So as Peter was speaking, as he was using the keys to open an entrance way into the kingdom of heaven for these Gentiles on this occasion, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit pours out a gift upon them. The same thing that was promised in Acts 2, remember? Acts 2. When the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all mankind. On this occasion, the Holy Spirit, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit, is being poured out upon the Gentiles. Amen. And it identifies for Peter and the other Jews who came with him on this occasion that evidently God accepts the Gentiles in the same way that he accepts the Jews. And so Peter asked, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Spirit? That is, who've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, just as we have, just as we Jews have. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, that is, by the authority of the Lord Jesus. They asked him to stay a few days. So Peter on this occasion, as he did on the day of Pentecost, he opened a way into the entrance of heaven. He opened a way into the church, the kingdom of God, by preaching the gospel, the keys of the kingdom. He did the same thing for the Gentiles on this occasion. In Acts 16, in verse 30, we see that Paul does the same thing, Paul and Silas, with the Philippian jailer in Philippi. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That is the Philippian jailer. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. The word of the Lord. They spoke the gospel to him. They spoke the word of God to him. They used the keys to open an entrance way into the church, into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Now it's left up to the Philippian jailer if he wants to go through that entrance or not. Does he? Verse 33, Acts 16. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Having believed in God? Belief only? No. He responded in baptism. It's an obedient belief that is under consideration. Paul and Silas on this occasion used the keys of the kingdom. The Philippian jailer and his household responded. As the door or entrance way into the kingdom of heaven was made available and open unto them, they entered into it. The Lord added them to his church. We also see in Acts 8 in verse 14 and following, where Simon the sorcerer was offered the keys of the kingdom as well. Now Simon the sorcerer, remember, was one who was already saved. Acts 8 in verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received, note this, the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, that they might receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name, literally, into the name, that is, into the person, Jesus Christ. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. That is, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, literally, a gift of the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the apostles imparted through the laying on of hands. They didn't impart the person of the Holy Spirit. They imparted a gift of the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to them, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in every village of the Samaritans. When they had preached the gospel, when they had preached the word of the Lord, when they used the keys everywhere they went, opening an entrance way into the kingdom of God. On this occasion, for Simon the sorcerer, the keys was used again. He had entered into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the church, earlier through his obedience. But evidently his sin, through that sin, he had lost union and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He needed to be brought back into fellowship. Well, what did Peter use to bring him back into fellowship? The keys of the kingdom again. Make the entrance way open and wide. And through his obedience, he could be saved. If he would simply repent of his sins, confess them, and pray to God that he might be forgiven of them. So through your belief and obedience to the gospel, you access the kingdom of God. Because the gospel of the kingdom is the keys of the kingdom. Gives you an entrance way into the church, into the kingdom of heaven. The big question is, have you believed the gospel? It is God's power unto salvation to bring about your soul salvation. God exerts his power in many different ways in your life on a daily basis. He provides you sunshine and rain, but many people, they're not thankful for such blessings as that. Many people go through a day and never even recognize and realize all the blessings that God brings to their life. The food that is before them, where did it come from? God makes it available for you. The clothing you have on your back, where did it come from? God makes it available for you. Someone will say, "Well, what I have, I attained by my own power and my own ability. No one gave me anything and no one helps me." One who has that attitude and disposition of heart is in a bad state indeed. Amen. Everything we ever have and will ever have, and everything we ever hope to be, is based upon our relationship with God. He could take our life right this very moment. He is merciful toward us and long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance, Peter says. God has provided salvation for you. He has allowed the apostles to use the keys of the kingdom to open an entrance way into heaven for you. You can't get there without those keys. Without obedience to the gospel, you simply cannot get there. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ and your obedience, one day you can be in heaven for eternity. But again, some people simply will not enter. their sins will be retained. John 20 and verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The apostles forgave the sins of people by preaching the gospel. When they responded in obedience, their sins were forgiven. If they responded with unbelief and disobedience, they retained their sins. They remain outside the kingdom of heaven. What about you this hour? Are you outside the kingdom of heaven, outside the kingdom of God, outside His church? You can get into it. Entrance way is made available to you through the gospel. Believe the gospel, be baptized for the remission of your sins. It's just that simple. If you've done that in times past, but like Simon the sorcerer, have sin in your life, repent of that sin, confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.